Yeah, it's one of those songs when I hear it when I'm driving. It's hard to keep it under 55, isn't it? Hard to keep it. That leg just gets to going before you know it. You're going to see some blue lights behind you. And it ain't the Holy Spirit. Somebody that's going to make you definitely pray a little bit more. I guarantee you that. But what a great, great song. What a great, great thought. I love to see people that just love their church and stick to church. And in and out, season and in season. Come what may, they just keep showing up. Just keep showing up. And that's what we love to see. Don't let the devil overtake you out of your church. Amen. All right. At this time, I want you to set up good and straight. Get your Bibles out. Get ready for a good time in the Word. We are so excited today to have, once again, Dr. Mike Watkins. Dr. Mike Watkins started out in the union world. He was a welder, traveled with the union, a pipe fitter, traveled all over the place. When I'm out riding around with him, he would say, man, I helped build that, and I helped build this. And one of the big things that he worked on for a long time, if you've ever been to Walt Disney, no doubt you've noticed the big, beautiful castle sitting on the Disney property. He was one of the men who helped build that and a lot of other rides. He told me all kinds of inside information on stuff. Stuff that if I tell you, I'd have to kill you. But anyway, I'm related. I'm connected, you know. But anyway, years and years of working in the union and doing all that work. And he got saved through a friend that he worked with when he lived in Chattanooga, Tennessee, when he was up there working. And then not long after that, surrendered to preach, went off to Bible college. Has been serving the Lord ever since. Of course, he's a very, very fortunate man to have the world's greatest son-in-law. And he don't say much about it because he's humble that way, but I'll just go ahead and talk about it for a minute. But anyway, we're so happy to have my father and mother-in-law here today. We've sure had a great time. They came up for the graduation and doing a great job. He's been in the Orlando area up in Mount Dora for well over 25 years and so many wonderful, sweet people there. And so come on up here and preach to us. You guys ready for this? Yeah. All right. Buckle up. Have a good time with us this morning.
Yeah, amen. Praise the Lord. Glad to be here. I was going to introduce myself, but he already did. And my last job I worked on, where I got saved, that was the nuclear power plant, as you can tell. But you know, that song we sang a moment ago, there'll be no partying there. No partying. Amen. That means no hair parting there. You got it? And I was looking at the ratio of thin hair and no hair, and you're kind of down on the no hairs. You need to add some more in there to have everything balanced and correct, you know, to have the balance in the church. Amen? And then the ones that smile and don't smile, that's pretty good. You got that going on there real well. Amen? Ones that are happy and sad. So we got a little bit of everything, don't we? Amen? And it's all good, amen. The place we're going to start out in the Bible is in the book of Luke, amen. But we appreciate you being here and getting the Bible open with me this morning. And it's all good, amen. Praise the Lord for that. And I know you've probably heard multiple sermons by multiple outstanding preachers. And so now you have one that's just a common person, amen. Not a big shot, amen. In fact, not very big at all, except in the middle, amen. The last neighborhood we lived in down in Florida, I don't know why I think of these things, they come out sometimes, but we were walking in the neighborhood, and Jody always got me out to, you know, walk a mile around the neighborhood, and there was a lady that she had met, and I was introduced to her, and she was probably about, I'm going to say about 70, you know, And Jody says, you ever thought about getting married again? Her husband passed away. She said, no, haven't thought about it too much because all the men I see are short, fat, and bald. I'm walking there with Jody, you know. You could tell that to her in private, but right there in front of me. So I never spoke to her ever again. Amen. Because this guy, the short, fat, and bald, and ugly, amen. I'm married to my wonderful, beautiful wife, Jody, amen. It's always good to have a helpmeet, 52 years of marriage, amen. We dated back in high school, amen. Can you believe that? I actually went to school, amen. So I don't know what we did there, but we went to school. We had a good time, amen. And good to be around my wonderful family. Adriana, she's full of brains. I said, you done been edumacated now. What are you going to do? Amen. Now, everybody asks, what are you going to do next? You know, you always got to have a plan. Amen. And what a blessing it is to be back with you folks here in Texas. My wife was actually born in San Angelo, not too far from here. Her daddy was in the Air Force. And probably about 10 years ago or so, we were down here in Texas, and we rode over there and to the base where she was born. And I pulled up, I drove right up there, and the officer coming outside, he come out and he says, "Yes, sir." I said, "Well, we wanted to come in on the base. This is where she was born, you know, so many years ago." He said, "You have a pass, or you're in the military?" Or I said, "No, we're just coming to see where she was born." "Sir, can you turn your vehicle around?" He was real polite, though, amen. But that's always a blessing. My wonderful daughter, amen, Christy, what a beautiful young lady she is, our firstborn, amen. And it's a blessing there. And then, of course, Dr. Riggs, thank you for inviting me to come to preach and to be with you and to share your pulpit with you this morning, amen. Praise the Lord for that. And yesterday, I got to tell you before I get into the sermon, a couple of things I need to get off my chest, amen. Not off my head. I got enough off my head. All right, off my chest. Are you listening to me? Hey, Brother Kyle, how you doing this morning? Everybody say hi to Kyle. Hey, how you doing there this morning? I have a Kyle in our church too. Amen. And so he's a pretty good guy just like he is. Amen. All right, so anyway, that wasn't off my chest. I'm talking about yesterday, my son-in-law, Dr. Riggs, took me to the trail track, you know, where you ride motorcycles and four-wheelers. You know, it's like 155 degrees out there, sweating. I know the plan to wear me down, so I'll get done by noon or so, amen. And anyway, we know that it was a good time, amen, and it did wear me down somewhat, amen. Praise the Lord for that. Look at the Bible there in the book of Luke, and verse number 22 is where I want to start out there. And Luke chapter number 8, verse number 22. "Now it came to pass on a certain day." Now, I know y'all have heard sermons from this portion, and so have I, and I preach from here. But every time I look in the Bible, there's something new and fresh and wonderful. Can I get amen on that?
Amen.
When you get in the book, you'll get some freshness. You have the Holy Spirit inside of you if you're saved, and he'll teach you. Look at that. "And now it came to pass on a certain day." All of us are going to have certain days. Things are going to happen. It may not be pleasant. It may not be wonderful. Or they could be outstanding and wonderful. Amen. Like seeing my granddaughter Savannah from Germany. Amen. And so that, he says, he went into a ship with his disciples. Who's that? Jesus went into the ship of the disciples, and he said unto them, "Let us go over unto the other side of the lake." And they launched forth. That's what I'm going to preach to you for a few minutes this morning about launching forth. Amen? Launching forth. And, of course, we could relate this to our Christian life, launching forth. Amen? "But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, 'Master, Master, we perish.' Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And when he said unto them, 'Where is your faith?'" I mean, that would be something to think about also. Where is your faith? Why haven't you launched forth? Why haven't you come to Jesus Christ and asked him to save your soul, to take you to heaven when you die? Why haven't you moved on in your Christian life and getting baptized and growing in the Lord, amen, and joining the church and jumping in all the way? Amen? Where's your faith? "And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, 'What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and water, and they obey him.'" Father, help us this morning. Give us some freshness in the Word of God and some zeal in the listening and zeal and effort and power in the speaking. Lord Jesus, I pray that you'll help us all to gain in our Christian life. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. I don't want to confuse you this morning, but it's mentioned three times in the Bible. The other place I'm going to look at is Mark 4:35. And you'll see a couple of things that may be seemingly not contradictory, but seemingly a little bit different. We have an eyewitness of Mark, chapter number 4, in verse number 35. The Bible says here in 4:35, and the same day, so just like a certain day, same day, that evening was come, and he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship, and there was also with him the other little ships. And of course, he goes on to say in verse number 37, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that now it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on the pillow. And so we see Jesus asleep here in the Bible. And when you look at that, you say, well, why was he sleeping? Was he sleepy? Was he tired? Exhausted? I'm sure all those things played into play there. But I think also, listen to me, also in the spiritual realm, why he was asleep spiritually. And I believe the disciples and all started taking him for granted, and they didn't really need him that much as long as they got on the boat. They were used to getting on the boat. They knew how to handle the boat and knew what to do and everything like that. So they didn't really need Jesus to help them, to guide them, and to help them to sail to the destination that they were told to go to. And he said to launch out to that destination. I think what happened here spiritually is they just didn't pay much attention to the Lord. Spiritually, I believe they just let him go ahead and go to sleep, and we don't really need you, Jesus. Hey, listen to me. I believe local New Testament churches can get the same way, to where they don't need Jesus, and it's all ho-hum, and we're going to do this, that, and the other. We're going to have a song and a sermon and go home, and everything's all done. And we've allowed our Lord Jesus Christ not to be involved too much. We kind of put him on the back burner and said, well, we don't need him. We can do this in the flesh. We can sing the song, we can preach the sermon, we can do everything, we can handle our marriage, we can handle everything in life without the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think that's what happened here, is that he went to sleep because they ignored him. Amen. They put him aside. Amen. And here he is. He went with his disciples and all that. And the disciples, of course, are the ones that are disciplined ones. I want you to look at another place in the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew, please, in chapter number 8. Amen. Now, I want you to notice something here in Matthew 8 that you may not have saw in the other places, in the other accounts. Chapter number 8 of Matthew, the Bible says here, down in verse number 23. And notice what it says here in this verse. 8:23 in Matthew. You got it? Say amen. All right. So, and when he entered into the ship, notice it says here, when he entered the ship, his disciples followed him. Now, that is not mentioned in the other two places that they said they went in and everybody. And you say, well, it's not important. They all got in the boat. Amen. That's the most important thing, is to get in the family of God. Amen. No doubt about that. Come to Jesus Christ and allow him to be your Savior so you can go to heaven when you die. Amen. But here I see that he's leading them. And when he entered, he meaning Jesus, entered into the ship, his disciples followed him. And long as they're following him and obeying him, I think he'll stay awake. By the way, you need him to stay awake. I need him to stay awake and be paying attention to my life and my marriage and my home and my church that I go to. Can I get an amen on that? I need him. I'm going to follow him. Amen. And it's not we're all going to just show up. Jesus led the way here in the book of Matthew. Amen and amen. So his disciples followed him. So they followed him regardless They all got in, like I said, amen. But guess what? No matter what, they were going to the other side, amen. And so our destination is settled when we come to Jesus Christ, right? We're going to the other side. We're going to go to heaven. We're going to spend eternity there. And somebody shout amen to that, heaven. But they launched forth in this particular story in the Bible here, and they launched out. And I think about the ones that are graduated the other night, Friday night. They're launching out into a new area of life, amen. And by the way, it could be a life where you could forget about Jesus Christ, amen, and leave him behind and not pay attention to him much and not have involvement with the Lord, amen. Beware of that, amen. Anytime you make a move or a change or something like that, amen. And so our destination, of course, is heaven because of Jesus Christ, but Jesus is in the boat, amen. And so sometimes it seems as though he is asleep in our lives. Amen. It seems like he's not paying attention. Maybe in our marriage and maybe in our church or whatever. And so he has maybe, listen to me, has become unimportant. Unimportant. Now listen to me, I'm not saying this because I'm a pastor and a preacher of the gospel, but bless God, when you get up in the morning, you thank God and praying and all that, and when you come into the church, especially, you ought to be praying for the church services, praying for the preaching, praying for the singing that it would touch hearts and lives, and by the way, listen to me, that touch your heart too, and my heart. Amen?
Amen.
Don't allow the Lord to become unimportant in your life, amen, in your spiritual life. Don't let that happen, amen. Remember the prodigal son that got all the money and he went and blew it all and everything, and it was unimportant about his father and his family and all the people he was around until he what? He spent all, then they started to become a little bit more important in his life, amen. He hit bottom. Now me, thinking to myself, I don't want to hit bottom. Before that ever happens, I want to make sure the Lord's important in my life. Amen. God is important. The Word of God is important. Amen. I don't want to go anywhere near that hitting bottom. Amen. But a lot of people do hit bottom and they make him unimportant and they have the storms and problems come into life. And when that happens, some run and some quit and some stop. Amen. But Jesus was right there in the boat, dormant. So you say, what happens to Christianity nowadays? It seems like it's kind of dormant. It seems like it's kind of dull. And it seems like coming to church, hey, you be careful about that, saying church is just all mundane and it's all the same. And we're going to do the same old, same old. And don't allow church preaching to become unimportant. Amen. R.G. Lee said, if all the sleeping folk would wake up, if all the lukewarm folk would fire up, if all the dishonest folks would confess up, if all the disgruntled folks would cheer up. Can I get an amen? All the depressed folks would cheer up. All the strange people would make up. All the gossipers would shut up. Amen. And all the dry bones would shake up. And all the church members would pray up. Amen. And amen to that. Amen. So they launched forth. Amen. There is obedience in that launching forth that I see in the scriptures there. The obedience. They did get in the boat. They were not perfect. We're not perfect. You haven't read your Bible if you think everybody's perfect in your life. You just read the Bible. You don't have to watch a movie or read the news or something like that. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
And you say, well, my husband's not perfect. Yeah. What about you? Amen? Oh, it's called meddling, isn't it? Amen? I got my bodyguard up here. I told him during the handshaking, I said, you're the man that takes care of me. Amen? If I got any problems, I'll leave any other people here. Amen. Come on now. Look at Luke 8 again. Amen. And we're going to see something here. Amen. I think we're going to get in here a little bit further here for the next few minutes. 8:22, the Bible says here, notice what it says. This is all good. Amen. Amen. You say, preacher, you act like you like that you're preaching. I love to hear myself preach. I got me a new truck out there. You say you love that new truck. No, I like my new truck. But I love preaching, amen. And now it came to pass. Somebody shout amen to that. That's a good thing. Now it came to pass. And some things, it's always nice when they do come to pass. Like those doctor appointments are not real bad, but when they want to start getting the knives out and start cutting on you. Oh, yeah. Amen. Yeah. I was in your office a little while ago, and your secretary, we were talking about, amen, and she said, here, put your defibrillator on, amen. I said, I had a surgery about a year ago, and I said, we may have to put a defibrillator in or a pacemaker in there. I said, don't put nothing in me unless I'm dying. Then you can go ahead and do it, amen. He said, well, you didn't die, so you didn't get the thing, amen. Now I kind of wish I had it, you know, a little... Yeah, I got me a pacemaker now. All right. Anyway, move along. Notice what it says there. Now it came to pass on a certain day. We're all going to have those certain days, those bad days, good days, luckily days. Can I get amen on that? Amen. That he went into the ship with his disciples. Amen and amen to that. And the Bible says he went into the ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, let us go to the other side of the lake, and they launched forth. Amen. There's some areas in which we need to launch forth and move forward. Amen. By the way, there is obedience in the launching out right there. Amen. They did launch out. You got that? They did move forward. They did have Jesus. And we saw in Matthew where Jesus led them in. It's not, well, hey, Jesus showed up, you know, well, go in and all. No, Matthew sees him as a king, amen, as you know, reading your scriptures. And they respected him as the king, Jesus, amen. Amen. And he went in first. There was a little bit of etiquette there involved, I believe. You know, that's always a good thing, amen? And so here it is that he went in, amen, and he led them. The Bible says in 8:23, but as they sailed, he fell asleep, amen? As they moved along. Here they launched out. They're off to a great start, right? I don't know if y'all watched the horse race. I was at Culver's. Y'all have Culver's down over here? It's not down here or over here. It's straight over if you look at your map, amen? If the world is round, I don't know. But anyway, you don't have Culver's, do you? Well, quit arguing now. I said, hey, all right. How many likes Culver's, okay? Right. How many wants to get saved and go to Culver's? All right, so anyway, I'm just kidding. Don't look at me like that. What was I talking about Culver's for? Oh, he's over at Culver's, and I had my phone. You know, I'm getting up to date there. I pulled YouTube up, and I said, we're going to eat a hamburger, French fries, and watch the race. Of course, it's over in, like, you know, less than 3 minutes. All right. Amen. I lost a lot of money on that. But anyway, help me, Jesus. Amen. Y'all are laughing too much. All right, verse number 23. It just feeds the preacher, you know what I mean? But as they sailed, he fell asleep. Amen. And as they're moving through, they launched off. They did a good job. Some people get saved and get off track right away. Some get saved and don't get in. Amen. And the storm of the wind of the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. That's where that program come from. Amen. So anyway, it was all filled full of water. Well, sometimes things kind of overtake us. Amen. Our destination, like them... that got on the ship, their destination was settled. They're launching for, they're going to the other side, right? I've been on the Sea of Galilee with your pastor. Remember that? And we were, and anyway, we didn't see Jesus. But anyway, we were on the Sea of Galilee and had a great time there. Amen. And they're supposed to launch forth. They did obey God there. But immediately they let the Lord go to sleep. Didn't pay much attention to him. Amen. Oh, they might have been enthusiastic when they first launched out. Amen. Everything's all good. This is the greatest thing since peanut butter and jelly. Amen. It's wonderful. We're on our way. We're in Town East Baptist Church. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And about a month later, hey, how y'all doing?
Hey.
Hey, Pastor. What's happening? You know, we lose that freshness and that joy so quickly. And we lose the excitement. Amen. Why did he fall asleep? Amen. Well, in our lives, sometimes we allow him to fall asleep. We try to make it on our own. Amen. And so, and if you're not careful, you're going to have big problems. Amen. Big problems, no doubt about that. And we need to wake up to the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ wants to help you in every problem and everything. He said, why are you so fearful? Remember he said that? Well, they get fearful because they don't have God. They're fearful because they're not putting God first. Remember in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek him first. Him first and his righteousness. That's his perfection. We'll never reach that, but that's a goal in which we ought to have in our Christian life. Can I get an amen on that? That we're pressing on the upward way, new heights we're gaining every day. Paul said, I press toward the mark, towards a high calling to God in the book of Philippians. Amen. He had it down right. He knew eventually they're going to kill him because he's preaching on the streets. He was living the Christian life. Amen and amen to that. So here it is that we go through life, and sometimes the Lord may say, like he did here in the scripture, O ye of little faith. Hey, most of the people know the definition of faith. Amen. And we won't go there because of time. The book of Hebrews 11 talks about and gives a description of faith. But true Bible faith is not a blind optimism or a manufactured hope so feeling. True Bible faith, listen to me, is confident and having the confidence in God and obedience to what? God's word, in spite of the circumstances, in spite of the consequences, in spite of the outcome, we're going to press on and obey God anyhow. Amen. This faith is when God speaks through his word, the Bible, amen, and through his Holy Spirit speaking to us, we trust what he says, and we believe what he says. We don't need to change Bibles. We don't need to change churches. We need to obey God and get in and launch forth and say, bless God, we're going to enjoy the ride. It's going to be wonderful, and we're not going to let the Lord go to sleep on us. Amen. Well, my circumstances, you don't understand this. Well, there's lots of consequences for a lot of things in life. Amen. So you don't understand, I got a health problem. Hello, I got 7 doctors now. I pray for them every day, by the way. Not that the bill were cheap, I just find, you know. My general practitioner, he runs the show, amen? And they make you sit there on that table. You make sure they pull the new sheet of paper out for you in case you got to lay down. Sit on the thing there. Don't you? I kind of feel stupid doing that. I'm a man of God, amen? I'm sitting there. Anyway, I'm sitting there, and he walks in, and he does this. He's the same routine. He goes like this. Reminds me of one of my principals in high school. And what are you doing here? Well, I don't know. What are you doing here? Why'd they hire you? He walks in, he looks at me. And I'm going to break the ice. I'm going to be first to break the ice. Good to see you, Doc. God bless you. Been praying for you every day. God bless you. Thank you very much. Things are relaxed now. Now tell me the bad news and let's get that over with. But I'm there to get a checkup. By the way, coming to the house of God is when you and I should get a checkup. Make sure that we're launching now and make sure we're not letting Jesus go to sleep. Amen and amen to that. Faith is not a feeling, amen. But it is total response to what God has revealed to us in his word. He says, O ye little faith, amen. And you see Abel and Enoch and Noah, amen. And the patriarchs and Moses and Joshua and Rahab and all the ones in there had some great faith. He said, Lord, increase my faith. That's what I want God to do in my life. Well, without faith, it's impossible to please God, the Bible says. Right. I know we got to get in and launch out by faith, but Jesus is there. What are you worried about? Amen? Jesus is there. Amen? I'm not looking for approval of man or the world or anything. I'm looking to please God and get his approval. Somebody say amen to that. Amen? If God can be glorified by delivering me and delivering his people, so be it. If God can be glorified by not delivering me or his people, so be it. If he can get glorified out of it, and by the way, listen to me, we ought to be glorifying God no matter what we go through. You know, back in the day, You know, when I grew up, a lot of people wasn't around over 60. So you're going to get a pill and have a surgery and live a little bit longer. And guess what? The longer you live, the more problem you're going to have with your toes and your knees and your elbows and everything like that. I got a thumb there that's not working real good. I'm glad it's not my trigger finger. Amen. I was in a gun shop not long ago. He said, you know, the good thing about that holster you're buying? I'm buying it already. You don't have to sell it to me. Amen. That holster you got on there. He said, now when you're riding in your car, put it over on that side because they can't see it. Amen. And then they can look over there. I think I shut this thing off when they did that. I need help, Pastor.
Testing 1, 2.
Yeah. Oh, the thing fell off. Thank you, Kyle. He was trying to tell me sign language back there. I don't know if he was saying he's hungry, I got to go, or what. You got to watch them guys in the PA room, right? That's why your wife sits down here. Amen. But anyway, here we are in the story here. If God can be glorified in what happens in your life and problems you have, then let him glorify that. Let him use that for God's honor and God's glory. Amen. And so in the absence of deliverance, we cannot conclude that it was lack of faith maybe on a person's part. So, well, they're really going through it. They must have sinned real bad. You can't judge people like that. And by the way, listen to me. Why don't you just quit judging people anyhow? Amen. Glorify God and lift each other up in prayer. Amen. And make it all happen. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. Faith looks into the future. Faith keeps us going. Amen. And the prayer, defeats the devil. Prayer restores the backslider. Prayer strengthens the saint. Amen. Prayer sends forth the labors. Prayer heals the sick and calls the blind to see. Amen. Prayer glorifies God. Amen. And amen to that. No man is greater than his prayer life. You got a prayer life going on? Or is Jesus sleeping that? Huh? You got a Bible reading life going on? I'm supposed to preach, aren't I? Oh, amen. You got a Bible life going on? I'm going to talk to this side. Y'all quit on me. You got a Bible life going on? Sorry to my granddaughter's over there, you know. But anyway, you got a prayer life going on? Don't let it go to sleep. You got a Christian life. You got to praise the Lord. You got to find something to help motivate you. Amen. And you know something? One of the things I like doing, I like my tracts that I pass out here, and it got a little smile on there. You know, I only had a couple old grouchy guys that said they didn't want it, but 98% of the time, I said, "Here's what I do. Hey, how you doing? How about a smile today?" Praise the Lord. Glad you see you're awake. How about a smile today? And by the way, they'll take it. Inside there, and I had, you see that over there? Some people take this track and they'll go like this. They're trying to do a scratch off. I don't know. I made a design one. You put a smile here, you can pull it off, you know. But anyway, they're scratching on it. I said, hey, inside's the information you need to look at. He says, oh, okay. Tells you about how to get to heaven. Amen. Do something to make life better and happy. I like those smiley tracks. Amen. I like it when other people smile. I like it. Amen. I like to encourage people. Are we about ready to wrap this up here? Amen. And so no man is greater than his prayer life. Amen. Two prerequisites of being a successful Christian. Have some vision. Have some passion. Amen. And they're both maintained by prayer. Amen. The secret of prayer is praying in secret. A sinning man will stop praying, and a praying man will stop sinning. Somebody shout amen to that. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to wrap this up. Amen. The boat's sinking, and they're going crazy, and they're calling out to the Lord. Amen. Now, we know that from reading the scriptures there. Is your life sinking away, and is it falling away? It's time to call upon the Lord, no doubt about that. So, well, I'm saved. I had a lady tell me one time, why do you got to talk about Jesus getting saved? I'm saved. I had one lady I preached on prayer on a Sunday morning. She told me at the back door going out, I pray and I'm tired of hearing you talking about praying. I don't know where she was from. One of those places up there, the foreign country, Michigan, Wisconsin, you know. Somewhere up in that area, Minnesota, I don't know. Amen. And she always wanted to straighten me out. But anyway, I want to give you a couple thoughts here. Amen. Sorry to make the other folks mad. Amen. Number one, Jesus always leads the way. He always leads the way. And make sure that he does, and he is leading your way in your life. If you don't have Jesus as your Savior, you need to accept him as your Savior. You look at the Bible as a textbook or a history book or something like that. You get saved. It's his book, his love letter to you and I. Jesus always leads the way. Amen? And number two, we got to get in by salvation through Jesus Christ. Amen? No doubt about that. And we're almost done here. I got 23 of these. No. Number three, beware of ignoring your Lord. Beware of ignoring him in everything that you do. Beware of ignoring the Lord. And another, next, number four, go by faith. And we all get a little bit antsy sometimes in trying to make decisions or whatever. Go by faith. Spend some time with the Lord. When I buy a vehicle like I just did there, I said, I'm going to pray about that, and I'll get back with you. I mean, oh, yes, sir, we respect that. What they're saying is they want to slap me upside the head and buy this vehicle now. What's this praying stuff? I said, I'm going to pray about it a little while. Amen. Number five, and lastly, make sure you call upon the Lord all the time, not just when the storms come. See, he went to sleep in the ship, right? And, oh, Jesus, we perish, we sink, we're going down and all that. He's asleep. Who are you guys? What's the problem here? You haven't talked to me in a year. You haven't been at an old-fashioned altar in 10 years. What's that got to do with anything? It's an altar. Alter your life. Amen. Change your life. My mom and dad got saved because I believe I prayed all night long for them. And they got saved that next day at church. And praise the Lord for that. I led my dad to the Lord. Sweet man. Love the Lord. Amen. Prayer changes things. But first of all, you got to realize the Lord Jesus is in your life. And don't let him go to sleep. So the last thing, make sure you call upon the Lord all the time. Amen. All the time. So don't let the Lord Jesus go to sleep in your life, in your marriage, in your home. Amen. And don't wait till you got to wake him up or you got a bad thing to happen. Oh, Jesus, save us. And I'm not saying that's bad. I do that sometimes. But, hey, I want to make sure I have a relationship with him and I'm on good terms every day of my life. Amen. Go to the other side. Just say, keep on going. Launch out to another level. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, you don't have Jesus Christ as your Savior. You never trusted him 100% and asked him to take you to heaven when you die. Maybe you never did that. My wife got saved on a Sunday morning church service, and the man that preached, Dr. Charles Hicks, was saying the same thing I'm saying right now. You need to come today. Come down here, we'll meet you, and we'll talk to you about how to be sure that your soul will go to heaven for eternity. And she came forward and got saved. One of the deacon's wife led her to Christ right over on the side there. I remember that particular day. Amen. Don't take Jesus lightly. And by the way, this will really help you. Don't take your church lightly. Don't take it for granted. Don't take people for granted. Amen. Don't take it for granted that people are already saved. And not only in your saved, getting saved, but launching out in your Christian life. Isn't it sad that a lot of people stay on a plateau? I've been a lot of plateaus in my Christian life. You kind of level out and you know what I mean? And I get concerned then. I talk to the Lord and say, Lord, I don't want to be complacent in my Christian life. And I don't want my marriage to be complacent. I don't want anything to be complacent. I don't want to take people for granted. I don't want to take you for granted. Maybe bow our heads this morning in a moment or so of prayer. And before we pray, if your head bowed and eyes closed, I wonder this morning if you're facing some difficulties. And maybe you haven't called on the Lord like you should have. But today you know the ship is sinking. It seemed like everything's falling apart. Today you ought to get it right with the Lord. And you ought to get right with the Lord about that area. Have you allowed him to go to sleep in your home, your marriage, your church, your pastor? Have you gotten to the point where you've become a person that's plateaued in their Christian life? Everything's mundane and everything's boring and everything. Are you like that? Man, I would come into old-fashioned altar and get some things straightened out like that. I would get it straightened out with the Lord. You don't know Jesus as your Savior? Come today. If you don't think you can make it to the other side and the Lord's told you to launch out, and hey, don't forget, Jesus, he might be asleep. You may have allowed him to go to sleep. I'm not talking about losing your salvation. I'm talking about losing your spiritual joy. Maybe you're here this morning, you don't know Christ as your Savior. We'd like to pray for you this morning by the uplifting of the hand. You know, you don't know Jesus as your Savior, just lift up your hand. We want to pray for you. Anybody at all, don't know the Lord, don't know Jesus Christ, lift up your hand. We want to pray for you. You're here this morning also. Maybe you've allowed Jesus to go to sleep, and nobody's looking around. Nobody's going to pay attention to you. But you've allowed him to be asleep in your marriage and your church and your Bible reading and everything. It's kind of mundane. And you said, pray for me, preacher, that I will make sure that the water don't overtake my life. Yes, God bless you. May you raise your hand. I've allowed him to go to sleep in my life. Maybe a young person, older person. It seemed like everything is getting boring. Maybe you're right there. Slip up your hand. I want to pray for you. The Lord sees your hand. Maybe others. Maybe the Lord knows your heart, no doubt about that. Are you going to do something about it today? Say, preacher, I'm going to do something about my Christian life. It's kind of dull and it's kind of being in that spot there where things just don't excite me. Things don't move me. Sermons don't touch my heart. The songs don't touch me. Say, pray for me, pastor. Anybody else, pray for me. God bless you. I would suggest to you, before I pray, I would suggest to you, like I suggest to everybody, no matter where I go, we're all human beings on this earth here, and things can get dull and boring and stuff like that. I would suggest you come to old-fashioned altar and pour your heart out to God and say, God, I want freshness in my life. I want to be aware that you lead me into the ship and you're leading me in my life. I want awareness of you in everything I do in my life, my marriage, my home, and everything. Father, bless us all this morning. Thank you for the freshness of the Word of God and the power in which a lot of times we don't tap. Lord, bless those that raise their hands. And I pray that you'll help them and encourage them and help them to move forward and go ahead and launch out. And Lord, it's a struggle sometimes, but Lord, we know that we put you first and your righteousness. You add these things to our lives and help us this morning as we stand with our head bowed and eyes closed. Father, bless us.